Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Want more Gators Breakdown? Join Gators Breakdown Plus. Starting at $3 a month, get access to unique episodes, plus a blog, chat room, giveaways, shout-outs, and more. Gators Breakdown Plus is furthering the interaction with fans and listeners like you. Head to GatorsBreakdown.supportingcast.fm to join Gators Breakdown Plus today. Gators Breakdown, because there's never a dull moment in Gator Nation.
The Gators Breakdown podcast is ready to go. I'm your host, David Waters. You can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. This episode of Gators Breakdown, teaming up with the Gator Collective once again, bringing you their latest Twitter Spaces, a preview of that. Not the whole episode. You got to be a Gator Collective member to get the whole episode, but we'll give you a preview right here on Gators Breakdown. Tyreek Zapp, Dante Zanders, Lorenzo Lingard, some spring standouts. Talked to the fan base a bit on that Twitter Spaces, but you get the preview here on this episode of Gators Breakdown. And also extending that a bit, the latest 84 reasons with Ben Troop, as he talks to linebacker Ventrell Miller. So a lot of good stuff the Gator Collective is doing there. And we'll get into it right here on this episode of Gators Breakdown. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. It really helps us out here on Gators Breakdown. Almost at 9,000 subscribers on YouTube. Thank you, everyone who's subscribed already. If you haven't, hit that subscribe button. You get the notifications when Gators Breakdown goes live or a new episode is up. So help us out right there. And be sure to check us out at the home of Gators Breakdown, newsforjax.com/GatorsBreakdown. So, you know, before we get started, look, if it seems like I'm passionate about the Gator Collective, well, it's because I am. We all know name, image, and likeness is huge in college sports right now. It's the talk of the town and recruiting, of course. And look, I'm passionate about the Gator Collective. I've got to work with Eddie and Jen. And look, I know the work they're doing. I know the work they're doing for the University of Florida players. All the sports right there, but also know that the difference it has made so far and is making and will make. And current players, look, they're deciding to stay at the University of Florida because of this name, image, and likeness opportunity the Gator Collective has given them. Yes, monetary value, and we're not going to hide it. It's a driving force behind this, of course, but there's more to it than that. It's helping players open up by having these type of interviews and events, the appearances they're doing as well through the Gator Collective. That, in turn, has helped us fans get to know these players even more through all this access that we've never had before. The players learn how to build relationships, develop life skills through the Gator Collective. It is making a difference. And I know the difference everyone wants to see is in recruiting. Me too, of course. But look, I've been told the number one topic that comes up by every recruit when they're visiting, when they're talking to current players, is name, image, and likeness. What can the University of Florida do in the NIL world? That is the number one topic. It's just time to accept it. This is going to be a part of recruiting. Landscape is changing. Florida needs to be prepared to satisfy through name, image, and likeness. Gator Nation, you can help. You can help do your part through the Gator Collective. So the link is in the description. You can scan that QR code on your screen right now. You can join that way for as little as $5-6 a month. So if you can do it, do it. It helps out. I promise it's going a long way. You're doing good things. That money's being put to good use there. And you get access to special episodes through the Gator Collective, like these Twitter Spaces. Like I said, you'll get a preview of it here. Not the whole entire episode, but get a preview if you want to listen to the rest of it. You can join the Gator Collective. But, yeah, let's get to that right now. Let's get to that preview of the Gator Collective Spaces with Tyreek Sapp, Dante Zanders, Lorenzo Lingard, these spring standouts.
This is Jen with the Gator Collective. Super excited for this. It's been a little bit since we've had a Spaces event, and I know that all the fans have been paying attention pretty intently to spring ball and what's been going on. And, you know, we wanted to get some of the biggest names on that have come out of spring ball. And so we're thrilled tonight to have Lorenzo Lingard with us tonight, Dante Zanders, Tyreek Sapp, and hopefully D1 joins us at some point here soon. And then Chris and Harrison are here to host. I know some of you guys know them, so really excited for tonight's Spaces. So with that, I will turn it over to Chris and Harrison.
What up, Chris?
Hey, Harrison, how's it going?
I'm good. You?
Doing pretty good. Excited for tonight. Definitely a lot of, I think if anybody was on the timeline today, there was a lot of good news to go around with the Gator Collective and just really for all of Gator Nation. And I'm sure the players in here, I'm sure they saw the news too and are very excited. So great day for us and coming out of now a week removed from the spring game. Just a lot of good things going on in the program. So excited to hear from everyone here. So fellas, I guess we'll just go ahead and open it up with that. We're 1 week removed now from the spring game. You know, how's everybody doing? You know, we're kind of recovering from that, but what is your thoughts just exiting the spring right now from practice and that game and kind of carrying that momentum into the season?
Who want to go first?
Felt like it was a good spring overall for offense and defense. I felt like Coach Napier, he helped bring the offense and defense together. Before, felt like we were kind of separated, always competing, but he taught us how to come together, be able to compete, and still be a team. So I think overall it was a great spring because of just understanding the concept of everything and also the players by becoming united together.
Yeah, piggybacking on like what Tay said, just us being able to come together, I felt like that was one of the coach's main things coming in, just making sure we had that togetherness. And that was one of the best things that he did, because now I feel like we can gel together and have more chemistry, and we can actually play harder for each other because you got more guys who are committed and who are more willing.
Yeah, and this Lorenzo Lingard. Basically, like the whole spring, I feel like the difference was we didn't have too many bad days. So, I mean, probably had about 2 bad days out of the whole spring. So, overall, coming out, I think the offense is in good shape and the defense.
Yeah, just like Rico said, yeah, I feel like the offense and the defense is in pretty good shape. And then the anticipation that we have going into the season after just such a great spring, yeah. How the coaches came in and they just were committed. They were ready. We both came in blindly. We didn't really know each other. So it was just great to see how it's all coming together after just so much time and so much on and off feelings about things. Everybody's pretty unsure. So it just feels good to have come through a great spring camp and then had the anticipation of having a great season and feel like that we really can. So we just gonna take this momentum into the off season. Everybody will go home and work on whatever they feel like they need to work on, deficiencies, even injuries, get treatment on injuries. I just feel like by the time the fall hits, we gonna come back as a even better team than you see now. So just be ready for that.
Now, a lot of you guys, I know you guys have talked about the difference between last season and this spring. Obviously, new coaching staff changes everything. But what would you guys say the biggest difference on offense is from the position you played? I know, Dante, you were playing defensive line and on defense last year. But Lorenzo, from as a running back, like, what's the biggest difference you've noticed from the running game last year to this year? Like, what is it easier for you? Does it fit you better? Like,
oh yeah, most definitely. I feel like we run the ball more, so that's a good thing. Definitely fits my style. And to be honest, I haven't seen the O line and this of and like basically they're in great shape. You know, they're all making their good blocks, you know, double teaming, getting up to the backer. So I feel like this spring the O-line made huge improvements.
That's always good to hear, because I know whenever we switch the offense, the O-line scheme, obviously with the run game, it changes as well. So I'm glad that benefits you, and hopefully it benefits the rest of the other backs as well.
Right.
Chris, you got anything?
Yeah, I mean, kind of touching on what you were just saying, Harrison, Dante moving from, you know, defensive line. Well, I guess you started at tight end when you came in the program, moved to the defensive line, and now you're back at tight end again. Maybe just touch on that journey real quick of, you know, kind of switching positions multiple times and then finally seeming like really getting a huge opportunity this spring.
So first, when I came in, obviously I was a tight end. Came in, my tight end coach was Coach Scott at the time. I felt like my body and my mind mentally wasn't prepared for offense. So that was also an issue. When I first came in, I was kind of down on myself. I have no reasoning why, I just was. And then I felt like switching over to defense, because that's what I played in high school, like, it allowed me to go back to who I really was, like my roots, and that allowed me to build my confidence. And then when after that, Coach Mullen left and Coach Napier came, he asked me to switch back. He told me he's seen during identity phase, he's seen how like my body was, and he's seen how I can run and everything. He said he's seen the tight end in me, that he felt like that was the best decision for me to make it, to be able to make it to where I want to go, and it'll be the best interest of the team. So just the overall change was good. It was like something I felt like it was planned all along. I just needed to get like my body and my mind in the right place together at the same time, if it makes sense.
Do you think you would have switched to tight end regardless of the coaching staff, or was that kind of, this is best for me? And obviously you've had a couple tight end injuries this spring as well, or did that play a part of it, or was this strictly like, I'm switching back to tight end decision?
It was a decision that they asked me a couple of times, and like, they told me that they can see me playing tight end, but I felt like in my heart that it wasn't like I was meant to be a D lineman. Right. And then they just kept telling me, like, everybody kept telling me, like, Dante, we can see you there. We can see you at that position. So multiple people telling me, multiple coaches, and then having those two injuries. And that gave me like the opportunity to actually like be like, okay, you know what? Let me do what's best for the team, go over. And it just worked out.
Chris.
So I guess, you know, kind of Dante and Lorenzo, this might be kind of a question for you. Just watching the spring game, it just seemed like the offense was really moving well, especially in a lot of those RPO, formations and plays. How has the offense really changed from, I guess, a spread attack to more of what it is now? I don't know what we really would call it, but what are some of the major differences in the scheme?
Basically, you got to stop the run. And if you stop the run, we're going to pass the ball. So really, it forces the corners and linebackers to really focus on, you know, their right reads. Because basically, if they make one wrong read, Anthony going to pull the ball and run. I'm going to get 5 yards, 5 to 10 yards carry. Or basically, Whittemore or Western is going to be open. So basically, it's like, okay, we got guys that can make plays. So basically, we putting pressure on the defense. Okay, stop us our running. Okay, but if you key in on a run, we're going to pass the ball. And if you key in on me, Anthony going to run a touchdown. So it's like, you know, so like overall, it's good.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
My bad. I was talking on mute. Now, Tyreek, we've talked about a little bit about the offense, but Tyreek, you got here a little late last year. I think it was August. What's the biggest difference from the defensive line on the old scheme to the new scheme, like gaps, formations, anything like that? Like, has your role changed as a defensive end from the old staff to the new staff?
Not really, because we really have like some of the same guys. One thing I can say that's changed is just the mentality and the want to for each other. Because like now you're dealing with a D-line who's willing to put their body on the line for through anything, and you just willing. Like everybody's just very, very willing. Coach Chaos came in, and he's the type of coach I want. He coaches hard, and he loves to coach hard, but at the same time, he loves to have fun as well. We are like, we call ourselves the Wild Dogs, and like he our pack leader. So like when he does a great job of not just motivating us, but actually teaching us and giving us the tools that we need to go out there and perform at our best and how we want to. And the great thing about Coach Chaos, he wants to see everybody perform. So on the D-line, I feel like everybody's pretty much performing at a high level. Everybody's showing that they want to be there, and we actually fully engaged, and we have obviously we have like our older guys, like our leaders, like we have Princely, we got Javon. So, you know, we piggyback off those guys, and we always try to one up each other, we motivate each other every day. But scheme wise, schematically, I feel like everybody's in their perfect position. We even have like our young guy, even Christian McClellan, he came in, he was very, very willing. You know, he still has his young guy things going on like that. Everything that a freshman would have to work on. So it's nothing pretty critical. But overall, I feel like D-line's pretty solid. Matter of fact, above bump solid, I feel like we're gonna be great just with this work that's gonna happen over the course of probably like these 2-3 months. And man, we get ready to take off. It's going to be one to watch for sure.
I know. Go ahead, my bad.
Go ahead, Fisher. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I know you said it, everyone's willing to put their body online, but do you think it's one thing we heard from kind of the back end and the linebackers was at times the scheme last year was confusing. Is it any simpler, or is it just the same? Because I don't know, I'm not the expert on the D-line. Is it simpler, or is it more complicated, or is it just easier?
I get what you're trying to say. I can give it to you like this.
Yeah.
Just do a great job of explaining and making sure everybody understands what they have to do. So even at times where you don't know what to do, you ask a question and they will do anything it takes to make sure you can clear it up. It doesn't matter. They're like, it's just like a learning curve. Like however you learn, you don't have to adjust to them. They will adjust to you. And that's the great thing about this coaching style. I wouldn't say the scheme is simpler. It's just that I feel like coaches take more time and put more emphasis in making sure everybody, not just the starters or the second team, but like they put a lot of emphasis on making sure everybody knows what they're doing. If you don't, you can always come upstairs, get extra time in. It's just a lot of emphasis on making sure everybody knows and making sure that you're doing your job to know, because you know everybody has their individual responsibility on knowing the playbook, but they also give you the benefit of the doubt by saying like, if you need to know this, like let us know why you're not understanding, so they can actually give it to us in a way that we can understand and know. So that's been a big thing, and you know, just trying to be especially as defensive lineman, it makes us. And one thing like about this defensive line this year, you're gonna see a whole lot of better play because we're gonna be more third dimensional. We know a lot what's going on the field. This defensive line, our coach, Coach Spence, came in. He's actually taught us like how to read keys of offenses and how to just help us be better players in our own right. Like, so we don't always have to depend on like somebody else to make a play. We can make plays because we can see and predetermine things just off us having more knowledge.
Yeah. I'm a chime in. I know I play offense, but I think from what I've seen from the defense at the linebacker level and D-line level is they communicate way better now. So it's like during the spring game and certain practices, if the defense is talking before they play, I'm like, oh, man, they don't get a stop on me. So from what I see, the defense is communicating a lot better.
Yeah, just like that. That's just a part of defense, and the coaches emphasize that a lot. Even offense, it's all about being communicated, and you want to communicate loud often. You want to communicate loud and often. That's one thing that Coach Napier pushes for both sides of the ball, communicate loud and often. Because, like, at times, it doesn't really matter what the other team, like, knows or not, as long as you know what you're doing, but it's their job to stop it. So you got to stop it. We don't really care if you hear what's going on. You just have to stop it. But what makes you a better team is by communicating loud and make sure everybody's on the same page. And even if we are all wrong, we all right. Because if we all wrong, we all right. Just make sure everybody's on the same page. As long as everybody's on the same page, we good. It doesn't matter if we run the wrong play or the right one. Is everybody on the same page and something synchronized is going on? That's perfect.
Yeah, Tyreek, this is, I think, music to a lot of people's ears to hear, but especially that communication component, because this just seems such a critical piece to the defense. And one of the things, I actually had a good fortune of being at the Tampa meetup with Coach Napier the other night, and one of the big things he talked about was turnovers. And he said that at Louisiana, they kind of like did this data thing where it's like if they got two turnovers in a game, you know, they basically never lost. Is that, and talk about kind of how the coaching staff has gone about emphasizing turnovers, how you create turnovers. Is that kind of feed into the whole communication scheme? What you're kind of.
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh yeah, PT, Coach Tony. He pushes us to like we actually have things where we see we look at attempts like in film. We look at attempts at stripping the ball. Like every day, he'll set goals. He wants like two interceptions, three interceptions this week, either in team or another compete period. Or he would set a goal as how many people he wants to basically make an attempt at stripping the ball. He wants at least everybody on. He'll say, all right, everybody, all 11 that's in, if you get an opportunity getting the ball, I need at least two attempts at stripping the ball.
And they're kind of like coaching you through that, right? What is actually like the moment to go for it?
No. We're in team. We're in a compete period. Everybody's it's full on. So you got to make an attempt at the ball. While like Lorenzo's running it, he just wanted to see us make an attempt because obviously, out of all those attempts, somebody's going to get the ball out. Like the chances are pretty high. If all 11 people in the game that touch the field can at least get two attempts on the ball, somebody. One out of those two attempts gonna make it from somebody. You never know who, but it's gonna be somebody. As long as we keep on gnawing at that ball, that ball's gonna come out.
Now, Lorenzo, have they been doing that to you all spring?
Man, I had to bring out the elbow pads, APs one practice. My elbows were so sore, like they kept on punching out in one practice. I'm like, man, y'all gotta relax for that.
Now, as a running back, does that like make you change? Did that make by the time you get later in practice, would that make you like change how you run, like knowing it's coming or?
No. Nah, so basically when Coach Luke first got here, our first little like walkthrough little workout, he emphasized cross bar, and cross bar means upon contact or upon the hole, we got to cross the ball with our opposite hand. So basically, it became second nature. So every time I see a shadow or I feel like somebody's on me, I cross-bar the ball. So this whole spring, I didn't have no fumbles. But, yeah, every practice, they are attacking the ball.
Now with Chris, Chris, go ahead, my bad.
I was just going to ask a quick thing. So, Lorenzo, this is something like you feel is very – you've just a marked change with the defense – this year compared to last year, like there wasn't as much of an you didn't have guys in practice going after the ball like they are at this rate.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Now for tight ends, like I really want to ask about the passing game, but it's like Dante didn't do was on defense. So were you a tight end your freshman year, right?
My freshman year.
So what's different? Obviously, we're running with more emphasis on the tight end in this offense. What's been the biggest difference so far from the tight end group and what they're supposed to do this year compared to the last couple years with Kyle and even last year with Emery?
I can't speak on the past years because I wasn't really a tight end. But with this year, the tight end group, I feel like, how can I explain this? Yeah, I feel like we're a little bit of everywhere, with the whole group being like, with some being hurt and having three of us being switched over from defense, I feel like we're a little bit everywhere, but that just still brings us closer, because since a lot of us had to switch over, that made the other guys that were already tight ends have to communicate with us and constantly help us and be like, all right, you want to watch film, we can meet together, or like people will text you like in group chat, so this is what we're doing tomorrow, here's the plays, make sure you study and everything like that. We all just came together as one to try to help each other, because nobody really understood what was going on after the switchover.
Right. I mean, a lot of you guys are everyone's basically learning something new. I mean, it's only been 15 practices, and there's another, is it 15 or 20 in camp? I think it's 15. So like there's 15 more opportunities to install stuff and get better in camp. And I know based on what you guys are saying, you guys are excited for just to get back and be playing football. It seems like and this is just me saying this from being around and on campus, it feels like a lot of the guys are more excited this year now that everything's new and it just feels like a fresh start. So,
yeah, exactly. Like I was saying earlier, Coach Napier, he not only did he bring the team together, he's emphasizing how much like the school is one big team, how much he's trying to get all the students involved. Like during the spring game, a few days before that, he handed every play, every athlete tickets. Then you had to go around and pass out tickets, and whoever came whoever had the most tickets returned like won a prize or something like that. So he's trying to get more the school to be involved as well, not only just the team.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen that from the collective and Coach Napier. I've also seen it from Coach Golden on the basketball team. I know he was doing a fraternity tour. He went by a couple fraternities. So it's really good to see as a student at UF to see the coaches, and not that you guys weren't doing this, but like the players really involved with just the average students who aren't involved with their sports. So because student section against Alabama was great. I mean, the student section against Tennessee was great. FAU, it was great. So I'm excited that Napier is realizing that and trying to get everyone to pack the swamp week one and make it impossible for Utah to do anything. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, we all are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we open with two pretty big opponents. I mean, I think that we've seen some like early rankings released, from ESPN, and both Utah and Kentucky are looking like there could be top 20 matchups for us. So I guess like the big question I have is, knowing that, you know, what are some of the things you think you all need to improve upon coming out of spring and going into that fall camp in order to make sure that like those first two games are successes for y'all?
Just really have everybody stay focused and not getting caught up in all the outside noise from last season and all the rankings and everything. Just stay focused and every week just play.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, no rat poison.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think last year, the team showed a lot of moments. Obviously, I know you all are disappointed with what transpired, but it did seem like there were moments where we showed a lot of flashes and possibility of being a good team. And a lot of the same guys returned to this team this year. So, I mean, I think the potential to make a huge run, is all there, and it seems like just like Harrison's mentioning, the vibe on campus is very different right now.
The stats that came back from the games last year, the games we lost is based off of penalties. So if we had even two less penalties during each game or so, we would have a way better record. But I mean, it all happens for the better. I mean, so we're in a better position now, but I feel like you got to minimize the penalties and then, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it seems that's been a big emphasis. I mean, even during a spring game, I think if I remember, we only had like two or three, and I think like two of the three were pre-snaps, but that's bound to happen with new O-line, new everything for the first time in front of a bunch of fans and all that. So what was, looking back now that spring's done and we go into summer, what was the best moment for like each of you in the spring? Like, do you all have like a favorite moment from whether it's a scrimmage, a practice, or even a spring game, or something that you accomplished in the spring?
Just the switch from being the defense and then switching over the offense. I feel like that was my favorite because it brought me back to my roots as well. I know I said roots earlier when I was speaking about defense, but coming here as the tight end and just being able to like show why I came here as a tight end, you know?
Sat?
One of my best moments here, like some of my best moments were like the time at practice, because I don't have one specific moment. I feel like I have multiple times. So like, I just feel like those times at practice where you can actually like see the progression happen, where you can actually see us getting better. Those are just the best times ever, because everybody got high energy and everybody excited about what's going on and everybody's pretty in tune. So it just makes it's just a dangerous combination when you got a whole bunch of guys who see the progression and only want to get better and who are just willing to put it all out there for each other and let nobody get nothing. Like, it's just like the just mentality this year is like the literally strangle offenses to death, like constrict. Let nothing. They have to earn everything. Everything that offenses will get this year, they will have to earn it. This defense will be very constricting and suffocating, and it's only getting better. And I feel like going this offseason, headed up to the fall, it's just going to be a dangerous thing. It's going to be a force to be reckoned with. That's one thing I can say, because everybody's ready. Everybody's willing to work. So, you know, with these guys that we have, because, you know, there's no talent shift, so. It's just time to fall camp. Just really just everybody working on what they need to work on, fix and improve. It's just simple fixes. Come back and then we can all get back to work and be ready for the fall.
Damn, you gave me the complete political answer. I was totally expecting you to say it was the spring game with that video the football account tweeted out. I was for sure thinking you were going to say that.
Nah. That wasn't my. That's a football play. That's a simple football play. I know. That was just something a lot of people probably that gave me a little bit more notoriety, because a lot of people didn't know who I was because I came in last year a little late and red shirted. So that was probably just a little awakening, but just a little sneak peek. You'll see a little more with fall come.
They just don't know.
He's just doing his job. Exactly. Doing his job, Harrison.
Man, I knew Sap. I've known Sap since he was in eighth grade. I remember when I first saw him at St. Thomas, I was a sophomore, and I was like, "Where'd you transfer from?" And he's like, "Middle school." I was like, "Ain't no way." So, just seeing that, like, I've gotten to know Sap, and I'm glad more people are getting to know him as he continues here in Florida. Lorenzo, do you have like a favorite scrimmage run or moment or anything like that from the spring?
I'd say one of my best moments of spring was when it was a very hard practice, very competitive practice. So basically my takeaway is when offense gets a score and defense gets a stop. I can't recall what day it was or practice, but it was like back and forth between the defense offense. Defense had a pick. Offense go down to score, and it's like, okay, defense get a sack, offense get a score. So it's like on those days, I feel like everybody's getting better. The runs, I'm used to running, you know what I'm saying? Like running downhill and getting behind my blocks. So that felt good. But like overall, it's the hard practice. I like the hard practice when everybody was going back and forth.
I got one more question, Harrison, and then if you got anything else, I guess we can open it up to some speakers after that. But my question for y'all is, you know, you all, I mean, I think for the three of you kind of were recognized as some of the big guys coming out of spring, But what's another name, not in the spaces tonight, that, you know, somebody offense, defense really impressed you, and that's going to make a lot of noise this year?
I want to say Jalen Lee. So he really impressed me. He's shown a lot of growth from last season, and just like from knowing the guy, he's shown a lot of growth. And then from an offensive standpoint, I say Anthony as well. As a leader on the team, as like the quarterback, he's shown a lot of maturity and a lot of growth as well. So it's going to be great to see.
So Anthony, Jalen, anyone else that we might not know of or not seen a lot of? Because I know a few people were missing the spring game, so I was just wondering if any of them.
I would say Kingsley.
Kingsley? Yeah, yeah. That's good. That's good to hear.
Kingsley did great. And then I feel like on defense, Ventrell.
It's okay. Great to have that guy back in the middle. I mean, the defense was different without him last year.
Yeah, man, he's a great player. Like, I feel like he'll do some great things this year.
Yeah, I'm excited. Sapp. I'm excited for the defense as a whole. Sapp, you got anyone?
You say you're excited for the defense as a whole?
Yeah, I was saying like with Ventrell back, but I was asking, like, is there anyone that we might not know who had a great spring, who may have not played in the spring game, or maybe not have gotten a show as much on during the spring game?
Bit Boom. Bit Justice, man. Justice Boom. We call him, man. We call that kid Angry Black. He's a very, very angry player. He plays with, like, a hatred for whoever.
Man, his high school. I remember watching his high school tape, and I'm like, this kid plays violent. Like, it's a car crash every other play, man.
Oh no, nah, this kid has a true hatred for whoever's in front of him. I don't really understand it, but he has a true hatred, and he loves to play ball, and he understands how to play ball. So,
what's the football movie where it might be like The Longest Yard, but it's like when that guy walks between that lines, he just like sees red or something. I guess that's.
Yeah,
Waterboy. Yeah. The Waterboy. Yeah, there.
Yeah, how you not know Waterboy?
No, I got The Longest Yard and The Waterboy mixed up. That's on me.
Nah, but yeah, he almost like that, like Bobby Boucher. It's just like, yeah, he runs in there. He's going to throw us like a ball carrier.
Bobby Boucher.
Yeah, ball carrier or whoever. He's going to like, yeah, you're going to feel that he like has a very deep hatred. And you can tell when you see him play.
All right, there we go. There is a preview of the Twitter Spaces from the other night featuring these spring standouts. And look, I love hearing turnovers. Turnovers are an emphasis with this defense, and Patrick Toney in teaching how to create more turnovers, a huge emphasis in those, and just working on it, being able to work on it, put a certain number on it, making an attainable number for these players. We know how much of an issue it's been for this defense the last couple of years in creating turnovers. Sure, the coaching staff knows that as well. You see him focusing on that right now. And look, I think the run game, another takeaway there, and we're talking about Lorenzo Lingard, it should be the focus of this offense. When you look at that running back room, when you look at what Florida has on the offensive line, those first 5-6 players, that's what this Florida offense is built for right now, till Florida finds some more receivers they can count on as far as consistency goes. AR was dealing, you know, of course, coming back from the knee injury, a little bit rusty to start spring practice off, and, of course, ended with some fireworks in the spring game. But this run game should be the focus with the way this offensive roster is constructed right now and Billy Napier's background. I think it's a perfect marriage for year one for Florida with what the roster has right now. We'll see how that equates to wins, but I do think they can open it up a bit more than what we saw Billy Napier at Louisiana just because of AR's potential, but I still think this run game is going to be the focus for this offense. And then the standouts, I think that we should take note of that as well. AR, his leadership, heard that numerous times this spring. Good to hear it again. But also, along the offensive line, Kingsley Eguiken, right there at center, started for the first time last year. Looks like he's already asserted himself as a leader of that offensive line group. Your center should be a leader among that group. He's not as experienced as some of those guys that are out there along with the offensive line, but garnered that experience last year, played pretty well at center on a consistent level, and I like what I saw from him, and I expect him to take another big step this season for the Gators. And, of course, you look at defensive line, and that's one big question that we have for this Florida Gator team. Maybe the biggest question. It was my biggest question coming into spring. Still may be my biggest question coming out of spring. We'll talk about that in the next episode of Gators Breakdown. But hearing Jalen Lee and Justice Boone's names brought up, unsolicited there now. I mean, of course, Tyreek Sapp's going to talk about his position group, but we know the help Florida needs with Jervon Dexter there up front. He can't be the only one. So hearing Jalen Lee, hearing Boone's name, encouraging. So while we didn't hear a whole lot of players' names along that defensive front throughout spring, we heard Desmond Watson's name a little bit toward the beginning of spring practice. But, you know, we didn't see much in the spring game except for Tyreek Sapp's performance and what he did all night in that Thursday night spring game. But being able to hear Jalen Lee and Justice Boone, maybe there's an encouraging sign. Maybe there's a couple players we can look out for there. Of course, we expect Florida to hit the transfer portal there if they can and getting that, of course. And Daryl Jackson's a name. I know the hot topic there of maybe almost committing to Miami this past weekend. That was the hot rumor that was out there. I don't think he was close to committing, but I do think the interest is high there. He's visiting Florida coming up this week as well. So Florida needs to try to put the foot down this week as far as Daryl Jackson goes to transfer from Maryland and get some help up front. But it is encouraging hearing a couple players like Jalen Lee and Justice Boone's names brought up. And then one more time hearing about Ventrell Miller and him being a leader in that linebacker core, limited as far as his class schedule, being able to take part in spring, but still showing up in a new defense, a limited opportunity, still a player that's standing out. Florida needs him. Florida needs him to stay healthy. Florida needs his leadership at the linebacker position. So you'll hear even more from Ventrell Miller just coming up right here with Ben Troop. But further in that Spaces episode, there was a question asked to those players about the best traits that they can bring to the team. Interesting answers by those guys there, and some funny stories as well. If you want to see a different side of the players a bit, that's another thing the Gator Collective has with these type of opportunities that they're giving us. We get to learn more about these players away from the field. You get to learn about it just a little bit in the Twitter spaces as well. So without further ado, teased it there, Ben Troop, Ventrell Miller, right here on the Gator Collective, 84 Reasons.
My next guest is a dude that Florida is extremely happy to have back, Ventrell Miller. What's going on, Ventrell?
Man, what's going on? What's going on, man?
Now, first and foremost, man, how's the injury, man? How's everything coming back from the injury?
Rehab has been pretty good, man. No boys in the treatment room. Been doing a pretty good job, and all the guys I work with has done a great job with me trying to get me back. So I'm feeling a lot better, and like I said, I've been out there. I'm feeling good. So
the Billy Napier effect. Y'all boys, number one, y'all got more coaches than y'all got players, I think. I mean, y'all get a new coach every day, but talk about him coming in and establishing a whole new culture.
Man, it just been interesting, man. I've been here for a long time, going on year 8 now. But just to see just the different coaches, and I just like how Coach Billy came in and just really made it like a player-oriented culture in a sense. Just interacting with all the players, just creating that atmosphere where the players feel valued. So that's been a good change, I feel. And it's just I'm just waiting till the season start, man, for real.
Coach Bateman and Coach Mike P. Mike, talk about them too, having both of them at your disposal right now.
Man, great guys, I can't lie. Them boys is just getting us right, man. As far as Coach Bateman, I know I interact with Coach Bateman a lot because that's my position coach. But Coach Bateman has just done an extremely great job just getting the boys prepared, just teaching us the scheme, like building relationships with us. So it's just been good, man, having those boys around, teaching us more, learning more.
Ventrell, man, what the hell are y'all eating in Lakeland, man? Like, I mean, my good, we could just take all our coaches, park them right there in Lakeland, and just recruit right there. When you got to leave?
Man, I don't know, man. I know for me, grandma it was throwing down in the kitchen. I ain't gonna lie to you, grandma throwing down, man. Put it on me, put that good weight on me.
Now, Ventrell, you don't know this, man. You got a lot of your teammates. They speak very, very highly of you. I mean, I just spoke to Derek Wingo, man. He was talking about how much you helped this game. He talked about how when you was hurt last year, he said, look, when Ventrell was hurt, most time when guys be hurt, listen, I go to training room, I get right, I go to my own. They used to call it Muscle Beach when I played. I don't know what they call it now. But yeah. And then you go home. He was talking about how, man, you was out there coaching. You had to tell them boys about what you seen. Talk about how you stayed in the game even though you was hurt last year.
I feel like a big part of it was my resources. My coach last year just wanted me to stay involved with the guys. Just being a leader, wanted me to stay around, keep my voice out there, keep coaching up the guys out there, and still trying to be around even though I couldn't play.
Now, I know last year I talked to you and Zach Carter at SEC Media Days, man. Y'all was talking about unfinished business. It's unfinished business 2.0 for you, man. You didn't know you was going to have the injury, man. But talk about your senior year. And I know you've been here since 2017, but how fast did it go by, though?
Man, I snap of a finger, man. Time been flying. I can't lie. Like you said, senior year didn't really go out as planned. But like you said, 2.0, so it's definitely finna be a bit, yeah, this season. I know we're gonna do great things.
Now, Ventrell, obviously I have to cover y'all. I remember you burst on the scene. He's that tweener. Like, he big enough to smack off his lineman. But man, when you get that rock in your hand, man, 80-something yards on a pick, man, where that athletic ability come from?
Not taking it back, man. Y'all don't know I played a little running back in the day, man. So I always felt like I had the speed. I know I don't look like it a little bit, but that speed up, man. I ain't gonna lie.
Now, you guys got, the linebacker position, none of y'all guys to me are the same. You, DeJuan, you know, you're talking about Derek Wingo. I mean, you talk about, you know, Chief Borders. Talk about how having such a different kind of linebacker in the room makes it so that, look, man, we all specialize in something different, but together, we're going to be hell out there.
Yeah, that's what I think what makes it special, just everybody just having a unique playing style, unique role. Like, some people can't do this, but another person can make up for it in a sense. Different play styles, and it's just, you just see like everybody's development, how it's just been different, and just see what they could bring to the table. And it's been interesting just looking at that.
There you go. Hearing from Ventrell Miller. Ready to see Ventrell Miller back on that field. One more year. We thought last year would be his last year, but the unfortunate injury. One more crack at it. One more shot at it. Leading that linebacker group, leading DeJuan Black, leading Derek Wingo, leading his young linebacker, Scooby Williams, Shamar James, and he gets in the fall. I like that linebacker room as far as talent goes. You got the experience and the leadership of Ventrell Miller leading those guys. Might have been the position group that took the biggest jump in spring. See how it all translates in the fall. So good job there by Ben Troop. You can hear more of that on 84 Reasons, the Gator Collective podcast. It's available on all the podcast platforms out there. So, all right, that'll do it for this episode of Gators Breakdown. I am your host, David Waters. You can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. Guys and girls out there, thanks for listening to this episode of Gators Breakdown.